call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Energy to order. Let the record reflect that it is 10:17 a.m. on Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. I want to thank our House Record Secretary Chris Dillon and our LIO moderator Nate Williams for helping us with behind-the-scenes work today. As we start, I want to remind committee members to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Rauscher, Representative Klayman, Representative Fields, Vice Chair Zolkowski, and myself, Chair Schrage. Today, the committee will be taking up House Bill 154, Exemption for Low Voltage Projects, by Representative Kronk. We plan to hear from the bill sponsor and finish up with invited testimony before setting this aside for a later meeting. I would like to invite up Representative Kronk at this time. If you could please put yourself on the record and take it away for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kronk, District 6, through the chair, I thank you for giving me the time to, you know, introduce this bill. It's a bill that I talked with former Representative Tallarico about, and it is something that we feel is much needed, especially in rural Alaska. I'm just going to go over the sponsor statement here. HB 154 removes barriers that make installations of satellite and high-speed internet capabilities in Alaska very costly or impractical, especially in rural areas. Internet is extremely slow in most of Alaska. This bill adds one more avenue for Alaskans to get faster, reliable internet via satellite installations. With several projects already underway to provide high-throughput satellite service to Alaskans, and now with the pending Presidential Infrastructure and Transportation Bill for 2021, there is a commitment to ensure every Alaskan has access to broadband internet. Rural Alaska needs local certified installers who are in proximity to them and that can provide this crucial service without outdated regulations increasing the cost of installation. Currently, low voltage internet satellite installers in Alaska are required to have an electrical administrator oversee their work due to old regulations created prior to satellite internet installers. This is prohibiting cost-effective satellite internet installations in rural Alaska, and this bill exempts them as low-voltage installers from electrical administrative oversight. HB 154 also adds an exemption to allow low-voltage contractors performing work on a project under $10,000 to do so without being a licensed general contractor, thus making small internet projects in rural Alaska financially possible and reasonable. I urge your support on removing this barrier, thus enabling high-speed internet options.
Thank you, Representative Kronk. Did you want to take us through the sectional just really quickly?
Sure. Okay, Section 1, AS08.18.161. It amends that section by adding an exemption for low-voltage project contractors or installers performing the work, installs or repairs under $10,000 needing to be a licensed general contractor. In Section 2, it adds an exemption for work, installs, and repairs on low-voltage telecommunications, broadband transmissions, and video service projects to be overseen by an electrical administrator. And with our conversation, and I'm going to, you know, just add a prior, one of my staff did a lot of work on this, and he had to leave, obviously, at the 90-day mark. So he did a lot of the work. So I'm going to apologize if there's some things I can't ask. But through some of our conversations with some of the different companies, we have a couple of amendments that we would like to put in after we hear this, and I can let you know. And I'm going to assume Representative Tuck probably knows this a lot better than I do. But
thank you, Representative Kronk, and I'm sure understanding that you know it's difficult when you lose your staff after the 90-day mark. If there's questions you can't answer, I'm sure we can work with you to get those answers at a later date. All right, with that, I think we're going to go to invited testimony before we jump into questions. With that, we will hear from Chad Jones, technical leader at Cisco Systems. Mr. Jones, could you please put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony? Oh, and let me let the record reflect that Representatives Tuck and Representative Kaufman joined us at 10:19 a.m. Now please proceed, Chad Jones.
Hi, I'm Chad Jones, technical leader from Cisco Systems. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, so Cisco reached out to there was a specific part of the bill where it had a restriction at 56 volts to define low voltage. And so I'm a code-making panel member on the National Electrical Code. And on code-making panel 3, we cover Article 725, which is the limited power section of the code. And 56 volts is a weird number. A better definition for that is class 2 or class 3, And so we reached out to try to help amend the law to make it clear. And we sent along some language to help with an amendment to align your legislation with the National Electrical Code. And I hope that you have the amendment there in front of you.
We do not have that in front of us today, I don't believe. However, we will be taking up amendments at a later date, and I'm sure that we'll be working with Representative Kronk to incorporate those.
Okay, to sum it up, Class 2 and Class 3 are they're a class of definitions that define safe products. So they are safe to the touch for electrical shock and safe for ignition from fire. They cover a wide range of voltages, currents, and more specifically, it's about the power that can be drawn. So 56 volts leaves open for someone to provide a lot of current and install an unsafe system. Class 2 and Class 3 is the better definition there.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And with that, do members have questions for either the invited testimony or for Representative Kronk? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I did not hear whether he supported the bill or did not support the bill as written.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do support the bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Klayman.
In terms of the installations that are getting described in the packet, it looks like a lot of the stuff that we got provided have to do with the SpaceX model where you've got some lower elevation satellites and some terrestrial receivers. Is this really only going to impact these terrestrial receivers in a model like SpaceX's or similar, or are these going to have implications with just general broadband installations other than the satellite stuff?
I assume that's a question to the legislator, not to Mr. Jones.
Representative Klayman, who would you like to address that question?
We can start with Representative Kronk.
Thank you, through the chair. There's a couple, there's some questions. I just can't. We're just mainly focused on internet satellite installation in rural Alaska. That's pretty much the whole reason of putting this bill in.
Does Mr. Jones potentially know more about this on broadband that's not satellite installation?
Mr. Jones, would you be able to take a stab at that question?
I can. So, of course, we're talking about ground-based installations. What normally happens is you have some device remoted out to the yard. You want to get data and power out to that device, and it's easiest to do it over one cable. And the way it's normally done is through a system that is a Class 2 limited power system so that it's safe for if someone were to happen to accidentally touch it or if something got across it. So it's not going to shock somebody. It's not going to catch it on fire. So all of these systems use some kind of remote powering technology. And I'm involved in this mostly because Cisco, the company I work for, sells something called Power of Ethernet. And a lot of these things are powered that way. Power of Ethernet allows you to provide 70 watts along with 10 gigabits of data all over one 8-conductor cable.
Follow-up, Representative Klayman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that strictly a satellite? Is that a terrestrial receiver of the satellite signals, or does that also come into play on, like, if I were trying to put a router in my own house that I could install it on the Class 2 or Class 3 work?
Yeah. So, in Power Ethernet is a very common technology that people don't usually realize there. So, if you're using an IP phone, if it has one cable going into it, it has power and data on that cable using Power Ethernet. I'm sure you have Wi-Fi in your building. The access points are usually mounted up on the ceiling or hidden up above the ceiling. You don't want to locate an AC outlet up there. You power it via Power Ethernet. So Power Ethernet powers a lot of things that people don't even realize is being powered that way.
Are there additional questions? Representative Zolkowski and then Representative Field. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for the sponsor. So as I read the sponsor statement and take a look at the language in the bill, I just want to make sure that I understand this correctly. So this is looking to exempt installers for satellite installers for projects under $10,000 to be able to do it without being a licensed general contractor. I just want to make sure that I understand that that's what this bill is doing.
Correct.
And then a follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Thank you. Do you have a sense of the breadth of communities that that are currently faced with this challenge as a barrier for installing these satellite systems? So are there current communities that are having difficulties being able to get these satellites installed? And maybe I'll just stop there for now.
Thank you. Through the chair, we had a lot of conversation with different people. And, you know, I have one specific community in my district of Eagle, you know, where they just have, obviously, we know, problems with broadband and stuff. And this is just going to allow these people to have, it's cost savings for them. And with all the new, like in 2016, there was a new satellite Gen 5 launched over Texas, which two of the beams got, you know, pointed towards Alaska, and then you have Starlink popping up. And we just want to make sure, I mean, there's going to be a lot of money coming in to the state for infrastructure, and we just want to make sure we have the least amount of restrictions available to all of our rural communities to get this done. I know when I was in Northway, one of our local guys, this was kind of a side business for him back in the day when you had to have the 12-foot satellite dish, you know, put up, you know, for TV or something. And so we're just trying to reduce the restrictions and keeping this kind of local, you know, jobs under $10,000. So this is, we don't want to cut into anybody's business or take money away from somebody's pocket, but we just want to make this easier for broadband, you know, just get the equity of, you know, broadband equity out there so everybody has a chance to get it.
Final follow-up.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that, Representative Kronk. Has there been any consultation with communities that would utilize this work under this exemption, and any concerns potentially for continued maintenance or impacts to their existing electrical infrastructure, and who might be able to, I mean, is the hope that this could create opportunities for local residents to do the installation so that there are people on the ground to do the maintenance? Can you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Through the chair, yes, that's the whole goal, is to get the people locally to be able to be certified to do this. And I haven't had some of the conversations you asked initially about, you know, electrical grid and stuff like that. But
thank you.
All right, next up we have Representative Fields.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, follow up on that. I guess I want to understand the workforce implications. Who are doing the installations now, and if the bill passed, who would the additional people be who could do the installations? So is it electricians who are doing the installations now, and if this bill passed, what would kind of the minimum training be for someone to make these installations?
Through the chair, some of these, you know, especially some of the smaller communities, you just had people that would just do it. You know, there was kind of unregulated, and so you're trying to take the extra cost involved in doing this, and hopefully with some of these companies that, you know, we're actually, you know, supporting this, you know, we can get some sort of training for, and in my mind, it doesn't matter to me who it is, as long as there's people locally in these communities, because, you know, whether you're, you know, an Eagle or Arctic Village, it's a plane ride out there to do all this stuff, to have all this equipment with you, and to have extra people coming with you or happening to have somebody sign off on that work. It's just adding huge costs to the project when it's unnecessary.
I guess if an installer was to follow the law, though, right now, do they have to be an electrician, or what? I don't understand under the current law, what is the minimum requirement?
Well,
and
I believe
if your bill passes, there's some other training requirement that, you know, you'd have an additional group of people who could do it.
Through the chair, I don't know the exact of it, but I do know the whole purpose of this was, if they installed one, we'd have to have an electrical person come out and basically check that, which was thousands of dollars of extra money.
Okay.
That we're you know, because it's low voltage, we're trying to take that restriction out of there.
Okay. And maybe Representative Tuck could weigh on this too, just to help me understand the workforce implications.
All right, next up we have Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman, through the chair. Representative, I just want to understand. The only thing you're doing is adding language in Section 1, Number 13, A and B, and adding language in Section 2, Number 12, and A and B. Is that correct?
Through the chair, yes.
And the other thing I want to understand is a contractor who's priced at $2,500 or more under this exemption shall maintain like. So they have to have liability, and they have to have property insurance, that the business, basically a legitimate business, to be able to do this work anyway. It's not a journeyman electrician, just they have to have the correct insurance to be able to do this work, correct?
Through this chair, correct.
Which is good. Thank you.
All right. And next up, we have Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it looks like that a handyman would be able to perform this work. Is that correct, Representative Kong?
Through the chair, correct.
And so a handyman still has to have some sort of liability insurance and so on and so forth. This isn't just for anybody to go out and do. This is actually still requires some sort of license. Is that correct?
Through the chair, correct. We just to add on, we did talk with the department about some stuff, and we still wanted some sort of safety net, you know, through a contractor's license to be able to do this. So there is still some safety net in that.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, does this apply to fiber optics as well?
Through the chair, I can't answer that.
Well, I just want to point out that fiber optics has no voltage. So it appears that it would apply to fiber optics as well. If that is that your intent with the bill?
Through the chair, our intent is just to make the restrictions less. So if that's something that needs to be in there or clarified, we can do that. So I ask for any, especially, you know, your expertise to make this bill as strong as possible. So when all this money does come rolling, you know, we're talking about broadband equity. We want to make sure that we have the least restrictions and we can get this going in our remote places. Not that you couldn't do this in urban Alaska either if somebody chose to use one of these systems, but we want to make sure that the costs are down, especially in rural Alaska, to get this broadband.
Okay, and if I may, Mr. Chair?
Please.
And this is limited to residential?
Through the chair, I believe that is the goal of this, yes. Okay. Because I believe, you know, if you're going to talk businesses and schools and stuff, we would definitely, it's probably going to be a bigger project. So that's why we kind of kept a number there to keep it under. So, so yes.
Okay, so if I may, Mr. Chair, sorry about that. So
please just proceed with your line.
Okay, thank you. So so not intended for commercial, just for residential.
Through the chair, correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there additional questions from committee members? Give folks just a second here. All right, you might be getting off easy here, Representative Kronk. All of us might be getting off easy here. All right, with no additional questions, and I don't see that our other invited testimony is online, so with no other business, Representative Kaufman sneaking in there at the end.
Not a question, but a comment through the chair. I just noted in the suggested amendments the revision of the definition from low voltage to class 2 or 3 does list among that optical fiber cables.
Thank you for that, Representative Kaufman. So it sounds like the bill sponsor will likely work with members of the committee to draft an amendment or two if needed, but there'll be some discussion offline about that, and we'll take this bill up at a later time to continue that discussion and consider amendments. With nothing else before the committee and seeing no other questions, the committee is adjourned at 10:36 a.m.